Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details. Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
This is Hidden Tillers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
Rex Ehrman was sentenced to 3 consecutive life terms plus 100 years in Suffolk, in a Suffolk County courtroom. There's extra 100 years just, you know, for good measure, just in case. The judge called him disgusting, told the officers to remove him, and the families of 8 dead women stood up and cheered. But inside the plea deal that put him there is a confession to a murder he was never charged with. An appeal, right, his lawyers fought 3 years to protect and then gave away. And an agreement with the FBI, in an agreement with others, and the FBI agreements that the DA swears isn't an investigation. Eric Faddis, defense attorney, former prosecutor, with us to help break down what actually happened in that courtroom and what it cost. Ehrman, he looked at the judge and said, "I killed Karen Vergata." No charges were filed in that one. That's what a lot of people are wondering about here. Her family was right there in the courtroom. He never had the charge, but part of it was admitting to the murder. Eric, why? Why is it kind of a half-assed admission that he can't be prosecuted on? I think we're all kind of confused about that.
You know, it's pretty unusual, Tony. And think about if you were that victim's family and you know, this person is being convicted, and there'll be a final conviction of all these other murders. And then for your family member, it's just sort of some lip service saying, "Oh, yeah, I did that one, too, but not going to sustain a conviction, not going to have a sentence for that one." If I was the family, I would be super peeved. I haven't seen this kind of something built into a plea like this, where you admit to a crime for which you're not charged and for which you're not going to be convicted or sentenced. I don't know if it was just some kind of attempt at closure, but I think it was probably a failed attempt.
Do you think it might have been go ahead, Tony.
I was just going to say, yeah, it just seems very empty for that family. Go ahead, Robin.
Yeah, I was just thinking, you know, empty for the family, which is the greatest injustice. But do you think, like, how did that come about? It struck me as really Rex doing an oopsie and his defense not catching. Is that possible? That, I mean, how is the defense, his attorneys miss that, if they miss it all? Like, why even have that out there?
Yeah, I don't see how it confers any substantial benefits to either side. You know, the prosecution does not secure a conviction. They don't get a sentence. On the defense side, you're sort of making this admission of some horrible wrongdoing. For what benefit are you getting in exchange for that? It just seems like a bizarre way to try and sort of loop in this other alleged incident into a criminal case that's already going on, but doing so in kind of a half-assed way.
Yeah, because, I mean, when you think about it, because, again, I am still 100% in the camp that he's got zero empathy. He's not trying to reconcile with anyone. He's not trying to be remorseful. He's incapable of all those things. And so he's not doing it to kind of, like, satisfy the family's need to know. And the only thing that he still holds as his currency is the knowledge of what he did. And he'd hold on to every little scrap he had. I mean, he literally gave up one more thing he could use to get leverage later on if he wanted attention. So that also then begs me to say, I think there's more.
I think there's more to the story as to why he added that, or why that was added in there. And I don't know if it was just a slip of the tongue to Asa and then it was added. Because, I mean, is it a timing thing, I wonder? That's what I kind of keep going back to. Of like, okay, well, it looks like he might have done this. He's confessing to it, but we don't have the goods to truly, if we were to take this and prosecute him, to go all the way and get him convicted. But he's saying it, so is it just, let's just, you know, not waste time here attempting this. I also have a wonder, pure conjecture of, I wonder if they're looking at the timeline of Rex Heuermann's existence on this planet, if there's something else going on behind the scenes. And the thought process was, he's admitting to it now. The time it's going to take to get a conviction on this extra charge is going to push this back by years or months. I don't know, but think it might go a little bit of a ways. And let's get him admitting to this on the record while he's still on Earth. I don't know. I mean, he's not super old, but who knows? He doesn't look like the healthiest, you know, ogre on the planet. I wonder if there's something there. If there's a limited time left for Rex here, and it was just let's get. Have you ever seen anything like that, Eric? Where someone knows, maybe there's again pure conjecture, but if someone knows there's an illness or whatever, and he doesn't have a lot of time left, where any of this is sped up so a conviction and a sentencing can take place while the person is alive.
You know, I'm wondering, Tony, if that timeline played a role. You know, prosecutor can only bring charges if they believe they have probable cause. Now, that's mm-hmm. a low standard, but it's still a standard. And a confession alone, is that probable cause without anything else, without other evidence? That's arguable. And so perhaps the prosecutors were like, hey, this is a way to sort of loop in this other incident to try and bring some semblance of closure. He's going to admit to it anyway. And if we had to go, you know, by the book, it's going to extend this thing a number of years. And so let's lock this in now. He's ready to lock in the other ones. Let's include mm-hmm. this one. You know, it's imperfect the way we're doing it, but it's something as compared to the alternative approach, which could take additional years. And maybe the prosecution just doesn't have the goods on that specific incident.
Yeah, I'm kind of in that camp too. Is like, again, how does he benefit from this in any way possible? And I just think it helps him in his prison setting. He can get into his normalized routine and might even give him leverage on the inside potentially. That's the only thing I can see, because it's got to be self-serving. It did not serve anyone but him. There's no doubt.
When we look at the actual deal that was cut here, I don't see a lot of benefits other than he's not going to die, but that really wasn't on the table to begin with. He got three consecutive life sentences, 100 years stacked on top of that. He's obviously never getting out. But they fought for so long. They fought for so long to throw out the DNA and the warrants and all different things. And it went on and on and on and on. Why now? I guess why do you, in your opinion, why after looking at all this, why do you think they decided, okay, let's just go for a plea here? Is that the attorneys going, dude, you know, we can take it, but you don't got a leg to stand on?
Yeah, you know, if every client acted in their best legal interest, and if they all followed my advice, my job would be a lot easier. But that's not how it plays out. Sometimes they do erratic shit that just doesn't make sense. That you look at a cost-benefit analysis, and you're like, why are you doing this? Now, usually it's the other way. Usually they're facing insane evidence, and they choose to go to trial anyway and expose themselves to a greater risk. Here it's the opposite, in the sense that he's making a decision that is really impairs his legal interests. He has multiple consecutive life sentences. His attorney said at sentencing, he addressed the victim's families and said the reason was because he didn't want to put them through it. I don't believe that for a second. Perhaps it's to not put his family through it and have even dirtier stuff be publicly exposed, but still kind of a head scratcher even after sentencing.
Yeah, I still think it was hold on to as much information as you can that the trial was going to expose on him, as well as anything in the Carolinas that would have been, I think, even worse for him. I think it was total control of his narrative, total control of his fantasy life, no regard for anyone else. And still, I mean, we were talking about this yesterday with Siobhan, our psychotherapist. You know, I think he maintains even an easier control over Asa, because there's not more that's been exposed. So he's been able to control exactly what Asa has known, rather than it coming out in court where he loses that control. And so he still has, as we were saying yesterday, Asa actually has him exactly where she wanted him in her entire life, under the roof where he can't get out and go see another prostitute again.
And it makes you wonder a little bit about all of it, because of the Rex that we saw in court yesterday when he... said, my words have no meaning, and just very briefly made his statement, basically saying all these things that you're talking about, I did them. My words have no meaning, so I'm going to leave it at that. It sounded like the wrecks that we heard on the phone calls between those two together. There's if we're trying to look at Rex and the way he's behaving publicly now, I mean, there's a lot of monstrous people that have been charged with horrible crimes like this, and they don't come across in court as anything but monstrous. He just kind of, if you didn't know he did these things, you'd have no idea. I mean, he's just, other than having a bad toupee and kind of looking like Shrek. I mean, he's just kind of, just kind of the guy. I wonder if he comes across as a monster, that would probably push Asa away. And he needs Asa right now, at least I think for his own mental well-being. It's the only person that's still standing by him. So I wonder if the lever of not being monstrous in court or being more direct about any of these crimes is an effort to keep her close to the vest so he can manipulate and use her more from behind bars rather than scaring her and pushing her away and being more vocal about the horrific deeds that he did.
Very well could be. And, you know, I thought his demeanor was rather curious during that hearing. Pretty aloof. It kind of seemed like a guy who was there on a traffic ticket. And he's like, hey, yes. You know, I did this and I can't really change it. And so, yeah, but, you know, whatever. And that just seems weird when we're talking about, like, you know, a multiplicity of grisly murders. And so I was sort of struck by just the way he presented and what is his game? Is it to control Asa? Is it to protect Asa? Perhaps during the trial, he knows information could have come out that could further implicate her. And perhaps that could be a reason to not proceed with the trial, even if the government doesn't have it in their possession. He might say, hey, through this, through these witnesses and through these exhibits, they're going to get to the real truth of this. And I'm just speculating there, but I think there are a number of potential reasons.
Well, remember, his main motivation as a serial killer has been sadistic control. And so Tony made a great point, is his way to maintain that sadistic control was by doing this over Asa. So he doesn't have the physical proximity anymore, but he still has amazing control over her. She is living in his room that he did all this in. He knows it. You don't think he's getting some sort of satisfaction out of that? Guaranteed. And then, and to one more point on this, I have been routinely calling every single person we've ever covered an idiot, a moron, because they are not Rex. Rex is probably hands down the most intelligent, strategic killer and homicidal moron idiot that we've seen. Not idiot in the sense of intelligence. He's highly intelligent, but that's where I think the difference in this is his moves are very, very strategic for his own benefit, more than I think we've ever covered.
I wonder how much he's handling her with kid gloves still, too, because I wonder what she might know about the Carolinas. And we'll get to that in a moment. I am not accusing her of any crime. I don't know. I mean, I'm not accusing her and saying that she was necessarily conscious that he was doing horrible crimes. But I'm saying I wonder if retrospectively she's looking at life and going, oh, that's what that was all about. Different moments in life that just didn't quite add up, because you'd imagine over, 30-some years, there would have been a little mask slipping every now and then. She was on a mission not to see it, no matter what. But I do wonder if there is some knowledge that she may hold that could bring charges in the Carolinas, which could also bring a death penalty.
Not her.
Not on her. Yeah.
I think Victoria would, because remember, she's blocking it out. I think the daughter, the one who's having the aha light bulbs going off every other day, that poor traumatized girl is the one who's probably piecing it all together. I think Asa, as we've covered, I think she's got her life so bifurcated with him. You know, I don't know if she'll ever think of him in anything except the knight in shining armor. I mean, she's just so locked into that. So she will block that out. But now Victoria, that's the one I think if he was going to be afraid of anyone, I'd be afraid of her.
Of what she could say or do. I do wonder, but I do wonder you know, she was really young through a lot of this. And I wonder how much of her memory is just not going to be super strong for what dad was up to this way and that way. But I, who knows? I mean, there may be.
But she's the one that can have daily conversations with Asa.
True.
So yeah. She's the one that actually can get the leakage over time, where Asa mm-hmm. isn't going to have defenses down because they're not being telecised. And I'm sorry, we're excluding you from asking you these questions, Eric. But it is a curious thing about how he's trying to manipulate everything around himself to protect himself, I think, from further things that could actually cost him his life.
The his ex-wife, Asa, her attorney picked up his dry cleaning so he could wear his suit. So I think if anyone's wondering about because there's time since they filmed the last chapter of the documentary on Peacock. Maybe the relationship has changed since then. The fact that her attorney is picking up his dry cleaning for sentencing, what does that tell you about what that relationship is like today, Eric?
It tells me that they are still potentially in league with each other, at least in terms of this ongoing saga and what side everybody is on. You know, I know there's been a divorce, but we've also seen a history of support, even as the allegations emerged. So seems like they're kind of on the same team still, even if they don't want to be terribly public about that.
Yeah. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube as we continue our conversation about the sentencing of Rex Huerman. Links are in the description.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details. Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details. Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details. Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.